words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Late one night, a mugger wearing a ski mask confronted a well-dressed man and put a gun in his ribs and said, give me all your money. And the man says, you can't do that. I'm a U.S. congressman. And the robber said, in that case, give me all my money. But when you think about people that mismanage money or don't use money in the right way or are not good managers of money, sometimes we think of the United States government, United States representatives and senators. Certainly this morning, our gospel lesson is a parable about a bad money manager. And it's a parable that really is read best alongside of the one that comes right before it. The one right before it is the parable of the prodigal son. And as you read those two together, kind of like watching a movie, it really helps to explain the second parable much better. Certainly, you know the story of the prodigal son, where the son asks the father for his inheritance and goes out and spends it on wild living, and then he finds that he's run out of money. So he's desperate to find something to get him some food, and so he hires on with a pig farmer, and he is feeding the pigs, and nobody's giving him anything to eat, and so he's desperate, and he sees that what food the pigs are eating, and even that looks good to him. So he begins to think to himself, you know, I really wonder if things might not be better back at home. So he begins to make plans to perhaps go back and see if his father will hire him on as one of his hired workers, because he realizes that even his father's workers have food to eat. And so he hits really a new low at that moment in his life, and it's kind of a moment of realization. It's what we might call a come-to-Jesus moment. And he certainly realizes that his situation is bad, and he really becomes honest with himself about what's going on in his life. And so he figures out that he's going to go back to his father. And so as we look at this story, we see that he's kind of faced with a real dilemma. And that really helps us to understand the next story about the dishonest manager. This manager worked for a rich man, and he wasn't good at his job. In fact, he was pretty bad. Like the prodigal, he squandered something. He squandered, in fact, someone else's money. And so he squandered what belonged to the master. And hearing the report, the master asked for an accounting of what he had done, and he wanted him to bring him his books. And so as he was doing that, he went ahead and fired this manager for what he had done. And so fortunately, the manager didn't have to go to jail, or he didn't have to repay what had been taken from the manager, from his boss. He just needed to turn in the books. So as he was going to turn in those books, he begins to think about his life, and he begins to think what's happened to him at this point in his life. Simply put, he messed up. He really messed up big time, and what is he going to do? He isn't strong enough to do manual labor, and he's too proud to beg, and so he's kind of faced with a little dilemma. What am I going to do now? And he tries to figure out what he's going to do next. I think most of us have been in that situation before. We've been in the situation that was kind of one of those come to Jesus moments where the events and our times in our lives and everything is kind of laid bare, and we have to face the facts. There are times when we have to be honest with ourselves, and there are times that we have to be honest about our situation. There's no sugarcoating it or sweeping it under the rug. There are times when, like these men, we have to figure out what's going on and how we're going to get through it. Maybe this has happened because of some dumb word we spoke and it ruined a relationship, or maybe there was unchecked jealousy that messed up a relationship, or maybe it happened when addiction kind of sped out of control, or when your heart was broken because of divorce. Maybe it was years of poor choices that have caught up with you, whether it's related to health issues or finances. Maybe it's, if we're honest, something that happened in a spiritual way. We've had these moments too. It might have happened when sin finally catches up with us like it did the prodigal son, and we're holding the pieces of our lives in our hands. It might happen when sin is finally exposed like it was for the manager, and we're forced to deal with it and the repercussions. These come-to-Jesus moments are never fun, but they can be quite painful and embarrassing and shameful. So what do we do? What did the younger son do? Well, he came up with a plan. He decided he was going to go back to his father and ask his father to forgive him. He knew that the father would not take him back in as his son, but maybe the father would hire him on as one of his hired workers. At least he would have food that way. And certainly, he was planning to go back to his father, and when he went on his way, it says that the father saw him at a distance and went running to him. So the father messed up his plans. So when the father reached him, before he could even ask for forgiveness, the father threw his arms around him. He took him back to the house and put the royal robe on him and killed the fatted calf and served him USDA prime rib for dinner and had a great party as they celebrated the return of the son. The younger son was overwhelmed by grace and treated as if he had never left. What about the manager? He too, after all, had a plan. He decided to devise a way to help people to accept him once he was fired, so that they would invite him into their house. And so he decided that he was going to go to each one of the persons who owed the master some money, and he was going to reduce their debt. And in many cases, he reduced them as much as 18 months' wages. So as he did so, he was hoping that this would help them to look at him kindly and welcome him into their house. And certainly, if you saw a person like that who did something like that for you on the street, you might want to help them out and invite them into your house. And certainly, that was the manager's gamble. And the manager then does this with all of his master's debtors. The time of confrontation comes, and the manager gives back the books to the master. The rich man realizes what the manager has done. All of the numbers have been changed, causing him to lose even more than the manager squandered. So what does this rich man do to this no good, rotten, dirty, stinking cheat? What does he say to him? Why, you little, I'm going to kill you. I'll see you in court, and you'll be in jail for the rest of your life. I'll remember this and get back at you. Now, he didn't say that. Instead, he said, good job. Well done. Well played. Where was this shrewdness before I fired you? The rich man commends him for acting shrewdly. And instead of receiving grace from the ones whose debt he got rid of, he received grace from the one he had hurt, the one he had wronged, just like the son. He is overwhelmed by grace. What about you and me? Maybe we've made plans. Maybe we hadn't really thought about making plans. Maybe we've made them but really hadn't thought that they were plans before God. If your car ever broke down in traffic, maybe you said to God, you know, if you'll just get this car started, then I'll go to church every Sunday. Or maybe, God, if you're stuck in an elevator, you say, God, if you could just keep me from dying, then I'll serve at Community Link Food Bank. Or maybe you get in a situation where you have a health crisis, and you might say, God, if you'll help me, I promise to give more to the church. Or when burdened by a sin, you might say, God, if you forgive me, I'll promise never to do that again. One of these come-to-Jesus moments for us really is something that helps us to realize the overflowing and abundant grace of God. We're blessed today and every day by Jesus coming to us with grace beyond our imaginations, with grace beyond our worthiness, beyond what we deserve. Grace is His undeserved mercy and love. You don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it either. The other message of the parable today is that each one of us have been given a responsibility to manage the money and resources that God has given us. When we realize that money we have belongs to God, and He is allowing us to be the manager of that money, then we realize we have a responsibility to use it with honesty and integrity, and to use it wisely. Rabbi Simeon ben Shabbat lived a life of poverty. One day his students bought him a donkey in order for him to have a mode of transportation and to carry his meager possessions along with him. And so when they gave him this donkey, he received it gratefully, and he discovered that there was a bag hanging around the neck of the donkey. And in that bag was a jewel that was had a very precious stone in it, worth a lot of money. Excuse me. And he called his students to him and asked, "When you bought the donkey, did you also pay for the jewel?" And they said, "Well, we didn't even know there was a jewel." And so he asked who they bought it from, and they said they bought it from an Ishmaelite. And so he went to the Ishmaelite, found him, and gave him back the jewel. When the Arab received it, he was so overwhelmed with joy that he said this of the rabbi. He said, "Praise be Simeon ben Shabbat, and praise be the God of Simeon ben Shabbat." We're to live in such a way that God's name becomes beloved by the world because of our actions. That's never truer than the way we use the resources that God has given us, the money, the possessions, and the time that we have. We're to use our resources to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Part of what God asks us to do with the money He has given us is for His kingdom. The main way we do that, of course, is by giving to the church. When we give to the Lord through the church, we have a chance of affecting the lives of people not only for time, but also for eternity. When I went on a mission trip to Africa a number of years ago, I was impressed by the giving of the people in Africa. When they went to church on Sunday, they would have somebody stand up at the front of the church with a basket, and each member of the congregation would come up and put their offering in the basket. They did so joyfully, even though these people had very little to live on. They insisted and joyfully brought their offerings into the house of the Lord. And I was amazed at the way they did so with such a generous spirit within them. And I don't think it's an accident that the church in Africa, the Anglican church in Africa, is growing faster than just about anywhere else in the world. Certainly the conclusion of our gospel lesson today, Jesus says this: "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whosoever is dishonest with the very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So what kind of manager of God's money are you? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have provided so much for us in our lives, not only for our enjoyment, but for the benefit of others and for the benefit of Your kingdom. Lord, would You help us to become the sort of managers that You would be proud of, the sort of managers that were doing those things that will benefit Your kingdom. Lord, would You give us the ability to realize that all things come from You, and from Your own do You give to us. Lord, help us in this, from this time forth to make a difference in this world while there's still time. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.